Spent just the 10 rakats took some time. I didn't check how long 100 rakats took, but your dear Baba reported to me that he really didn't cheat, but it seems Muzaffar Efendi says in his book, instead of 10 ikhlas, 5 ikhlas, you made 90 rakats with 5 ikhlas, 2.5 hours. Now the reason that I am mentioning the time, because what we recited there is the simplest, although an important surah, but a simple, short surah. I mean, we haven't recited Surah Yasin there. So, if you notice that all these special salats which we did recently, they are very simple, short surahs, no complication. Ramadan-ı Şerif, which is just around the corner, is a mysterious month. There is a hadith. Rasulullah says that if we really knew the value of the Ramadan, we would want it continue forever. And we have been given 2 months to prepare for it. But in the Islamic world, the preparation for the Ramadan by good Muslims is sort of they clean their houses and they go do special shopping for their suhoor and for their iftar. That is the preparation. We are going to go, truly, if we intend to do it right, from one space, very different, into another space for a whole month. Now 100 rakats of salat is a long salat, but 30 days of fasting and making long salats and hopefully reading the Quran and reflection is a very long period devoted to worship. It's a pity what Rasulullah says, those who fast and all they get from it is hunger, and they pray and all what they get from is fatigue. I mean, it really is a pity to make nothing of that very, very, very precious month. Especially when you come to my age, you realize But it's not only for me, it's for all of you, because you never know when we are going to go. One thing what I remember Muzaffar Efendi used to say, one should make one namazes thinking that it could be your last, and one should go into the month of Ramadan thinking that it could be your last. Now there is a little taste tonight in what we did. And doing 100 rakats of a very simple recitation. But we didn't do anything else during these, say, 5 hours or 3 hours which we spent doing the 100 rakats of namaz. We didn't count our money. We didn't cook. We didn't sleep. We didn't wash ourselves. We didn't watch the news. We didn't read the detective book. We didn't do all these stupid things which we do usually in the life of this world. We did nothing. In contrast to what we do in our normal life. There's a rhythm in our normal life. Usually it is automatic. We get up, we look at the watch, you know, oh, it is 7:30, time to get up to go to work. We quickly go, take a shower, quickly have our coffee, get our car, go to our job, spend 8 hours, come back, have dinner, watch TV, go to bed. Tick-tock, 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 like a robot. And most of the time, we don't even realize what we are doing. Now the day turns into night, and the night turns into day. Food turns into no food. No food turns into food. Sex goes no sex. And if we do it carefully, our blabber during the day is not done while we are fasting. All these automatic actions are not done automatically anymore. What I am saying is, for 1 month, think simply that we are not going to live our normal lives. The thing which we are doing may be considered by other people very, very difficult to do, because really 18 hours, not only no food, no water, but at the same time watching what you say, watching what you touch, watching what you hear. Some people think it's a very, very difficult thing to do. And at the end of a whole month of these totally opposite of what one usually does is done for absolutely zero material benefit. You are not going to get a medal. Nobody is even going to tell you bravo. You are not going to get rid of your sicknesses or gain strength or gain money. Nothing. Zero. Nobody is going to mention in the New York Times that Mr. So-and-so has done the Ramadan. And most of us will enter this incredibly mysterious, beautiful time unconsciously, as we usually do things in the life of the world, and get out of it unconsciously too. So therefore, I am proposing you this Ramadan, the Ramadan we have passed so many Ramadans together, and this Ramadan could be my last Ramadan. Let us try, before we enter through the door into that special time on Monday, 6th of June, let us be a little aware who is entering into this beautiful space, this beautiful time, which is not 5 minutes, which is not 24 hours, which is a whole month. Who are we? Now, we do believe in Allah Ta'ala, and we do believe the Quran al-Kareem is the word of Allah Ta'ala, and we believe Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah Ta'ala, and whatever he says is not from him, but by the permission and inspired of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, I have created jinn and men so that they worship me. I don't know how often, if at all, we have asked ourselves, what is the purpose of my existence in this life? Here it is clearly said that you have been created, no? The purpose is so that to worship Allah Ta'ala. The word used in Arabic is li'abidun. Now Hadrati Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh, who has interpreted many things in the Quran, interprets this single word, li'abidun, as li'arifun. So thus, now what Allah says, instead or in addition to, that Allah has created us so that we worship Him, and according to Hadrati Ibn Abbas, that Allah has created us so that we know him. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his messenger, he said that Allah Ta'ala is unknowable. Only he himself knows Allah. But he was invited on the Miraj during the month of Ramadan, which we have celebrated, and was brought by Allah Ta'ala over the Sidra Muntaha in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. He has seen Allah Ta'ala as you see me and I see you, and he has talked 60,000 words with him. He still says that Allah Ta'ala is unknowable, only he himself knows himself. Meaning that even if you do see and talk to Allah Ta'ala, you cannot know one thing. You cannot know his Zat, his essence. But we don't have to go to the Miraj, although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the Miraj of my Ummah is Salat. We do know Allah Ta'ala, because again in the Quran al-Kareem, Allah Ta'ala says that he has taught all the names to Hazrati Adam alayhi salam, meaning that he has taught all the names including his Asma al-Husna, which is his sifat, his attributes. He has placed it into Allah Ta'ala. Now you are the progeny, you are the children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Therefore, in all and every one of us, there is the traces of Sifatullah. Two, Allah Ta'ala says that I have blown from my own soul, the soul of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, into him. So here is another thing which you share, your eternal soul has a community, a connection with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala also says that Allah has created Adam alayhi salam in his own image. Now Allah Ta'ala does not have an image. We don't know how he looks. But he means that Allah Ta'ala has created Adam alayhi salam in the image of his sifat, of his attributes. That you have too. And on the basis of all those divine elements which Allah Ta'ala has put in us, he has made us his Khalifa. He also says, I have created all and everything for you, so you are not only his gerent, his governor on this planet, but on all and everything is created for you, so they are yours, you can use them. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who was the second caliph, when he became the caliph, he said, a true ruler of men is the one who is a servant to his people. So if we are the Khalifa of Allah Ta'ala, that we should be like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, at least ideally, that we should be the servant of everything which depends on us, which everything was given to us to use. The air, the earth, the water, the vegetation, the animal kingdom, and other human beings. Now you see, I am paying enormous compliments as a human being, as a believer, as a Muslim. All this we haven't gained with our own efforts. All these have been given to us. So therefore, we cannot be proud of them. There is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that Allah Ta'ala has created my nur first, is his first creation, and everything else is created from that nur. But he adds, I am not proud of it. That I have been a prophet when Adam alayhi salam was between water and earth. But he says, I am not proud of it. I am the one who is going to make shafa'at to the sinners on the day of Yawmiddin, he says, but I am not proud on it. So indeed, we who do not know who we are, Allah Ta'ala clearly says that he has created us as Ahsani Taqfim, as his best, most perfect creation. But we should not be proud of it. We should be thankful for it. And we should enter into the month of Ramadan conscious of these values which I have just mentioned to you. Some of us, some of these qualities show. We are kind and we are generous and we are forgiving and we are caring and we are loving. Those are the sifatullah which is in you and in some of you it is manifested. In some of you it is not manifested, but that doesn't mean that you do not have it. That it may come to the surface one day, especially if you make an effort. So we should not enter the month of Ramadan as mutton, as sheep, unconscious and heedless, and not just not eat and drink and get involved in love making and be not talking wrong and not listening to blabber, etc. But we should enter it like a human being, which Allah Ta'ala has meant us to be. And he has given us this occasion to us to live as we did just now. The attractions of this life, the love of this world. Because there is another hadith, if you raise yourself from the care of this world this much, that you will come closer to Allah Ta'ala at least this much, but much, much more in reality. So Ramadan is taking a vacation from the life of this world for a whole month. Ramadan is being a time to be aware of the qualities as a human being, as a believer, and as a Muslim. So, as someone who is being created by Allah Ta'ala as his best creation, who has been given the Sifatullah, who has a soul eternal, is entering the month of Ramadan, leaving the world behind. If we do not leave the world behind, and if we do not leave the automatic life which we live day after day, and entering into Ramadan, I think that it would be sinful, because we will be throwing pearls to the pigs. That should not be difficult, because all what you have to do is nothing other than we usually do. We don't eat, we don't drink, we don't get involved with sex, we don't fight, we don't get angry, we don't spill blood. So, you see, in our real life, we do all these things. So, it is only a question of giving oneself for once, I am asking you, instead of being humble, for giving yourself the qualities which you truly have, and enter that door with head straight, and enter as the servant of Allah Ta'ala, and inshallah we will profit from it, and we will come back as a cleaner and better person back to the world. Salaamu alaikum. I repeat, to value oneself and realize these things which makes you valuable is, none of it is from your own effort and your own doing, that it has been gratis, freely given to you. Is a strength of faith which will do you good. But there is always a tendency with our egos fingering us, that we translate it, as an element to be proud of. And indeed, if we become rich by winning the lottery, knowing that perfectly well that we didn't work for that money, we become a rich man, and we become a proud rich man. But I think it is very easy to stop this, because it is clear that all these qualities, which is almost impossible for us to acquire by ourselves. And how do you imagine that you can acquire Sifatullah? How do you imagine you can possibly acquire an eternal soul? Now, how do you acquire that you have got a connection with your Lord by yourself? Impossible. But the point is that these things have been given to us, and it has been given to us for a certain person. Because again, Allah Ta'ala in a hadith Qudsi says that I was a hidden treasure, I loved to be known, and I have created the creation. So then Hazrat Ibn Abbas is right. That one of the purposes of our creation is to respond to Allah Ta'ala's love for Himself, and that He has created the creation so that we know Him. And the only way to know Him is by leaving the world behind. Salaam alaikum. Ben ezan duydum.
Evet, biliyorum.
O zaman namazımızı kılarız.
Eyvallah.
Ondan sonra zikrullahımızı yaparız. We have been given clear indications, because nothing has been lost from Allah Ta'ala's and Rasulullah's instructions to us from the very beginning. Nothing has changed like it has unfortunately happened in other religions. And there is really no abstraction, there is no difficulty understanding. Everything is absolutely clean and clear of what to do and what not to do. And it is not really difficult. Of the things which we are asked to do, and it is not really difficult at all to abandon the things which we are told not to do. A Muslim is the one which the world is saved from his hands and from his tongue. What's wrong with not hitting people? What is wrong with not insulting and criticizing people? And in return, if you don't hit people, and if you talk kindly to them, and if you do not insult them, how can you receive anything else but kindness and gentleness and harmony? So what is wrong with it? And is it so difficult not to hit people? Is it not so difficult to call somebody my love or my friend? Huh? I mean, this is what Islam is. And what makes us hurt people and kill people and destroy people, and talk against people, and curse people? And what benefit is there when you do that? You get killed. That's what the benefit is, you know? And you get kicked in the ass. That's what you get from it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Huh? I mean, there is nothing so difficult to do, and the benefit from it is absolutely clear, and we have experienced ourselves, and somehow or another, we cannot help, you know, to do these things which Allah Ta'ala tells us not to do. My Sheikh used to say that the devil could be a very valuable guide. All what you have to do is do the opposite of what he tells you to do. And I'm talking about our egos. And it's true, continuously, you know, it tells us to do just the opposite what Allah Ta'ala tells us to do. So when you do the opposite, it that you are doing what Allah Ta'ala tells you to do. And when it happens, try it. Nothing will happen to you. I mean, he is not capable of punishing you or doing anything to you. He just fools you. He's a liar. He fools you. But if you do the opposite of what if you revolt against him, like we revolt against Allah, you know, if we revolt against our old private devil, Allah can punish us, but it cannot punish us. It doesn't have the power to punish us. And he gets angry. He says, shit, you know, they didn't do what I tell them to do. That's all what he can do. And we know that, we have experienced it, but we still do what he tells us to do. Madem ki Allah'ı dinlemiyorsun, şeytanı dinle. Ama dediğinin aksini yap. Ha? This, I tell you, is we are asleep, because we don't know, because I mean in sleep he pushes us this way. Well, of course we are asleep, so we go that way. I mean, if we were awake, we say, oops, that's a precipice here, that I'm not going to go this way, I'm going to go this way. But when you're asleep, he pushes this way, you go this way and fall down the precipice. I mean, to be opposing to him, you have to be awake. You have to be heedful. Our biggest trouble is this. I mean, nobody is really bad enough to purposefully revolt against Allah. No. I mean, it's just that because, he's unconscious. Push him in for this way. Have you read about the theory of relativity of Einstein? Is there anybody who is sort of intellectual or scientific and was curious and no? Nobody? Sevin Hanım, neredesin? Entelektüellere soralım. Zehra Hanım? No, you haven't? You're there, you are a scientist kind of a person?
Yeah, I did some.
Yeah? Do you understand anything from it?
Not much.
Not much. Yet people accept it as truth.
Correct, yeah.
Well, you see, I mean, after all, who the hell is Einstein? In compared to Allah Ta'ala. Huh? I mean, when he talks about the Yawmiddin, can you imagine the number of people from the beginning of time, millions of years ago, who has died, and that's not the end, the Qiyamah is not here yet, and millions of years yet to the Qiyamah, and how many people are there going to be on where there is going to be the Day of Last Judgment? Can you imagine the crowd? And can you imagine that one and every one of us singly will be judged? So, Ali, and then can you, although there is description of hell and paradise and all these things, but you see, all these things are really metaphorical, that they're sort of conceptual, they're not, I just gave you the stupid example, of course, the theory of relativity, which we cannot understand properly, and how can you understand, you know, these things? I mean, the angels, the judgment, the last judgment, the paradise and hell and all these things. That I am sure that all they exist and we have no idea and we cannot possibly have any idea, you know, how it's going to be. That's why I think dying is a really incredible experience. I mean, it's something to look forward to, because I mean, it's an unbelievable situation, and you know, you are going to see all these incredible things, you know, which is totally ununderstandable, but I'm sure they exist. I mean, Allah Ta'ala Himself. And we believe he exists, and can you imagine that the creation, the universe, I mean, so he's in control of all this universe from the tiniest atom and molecule to, I don't know, the whole astronomical, astrological systems, but certainly he exists. He exists because we exist. And all the rest exists because we exist. And soon we will see, inshallah. Evet. Çağrıldık.
Eyvallah.
Gidelim.